It's a pleasure to allow God to reveal to you things that He desires for you that either you, one, gave up on, or two, never even expected it in your life. There are blessings and promises of God, great and precious promises, that we look at when they happen as wow moments, and God goes, "But my word says, when you lay down, you should not fear, for your sleep should be sweet." Word promises that. What does that mean? It's a nice word, but is it a reality to a lot of us, or most of us? I want to submit today, as I share the word that I have, that God's desire for you is always better than what you've accepted as His desire for you. The best of your life right now is not anywhere near what God desires for you as His children. I hope somebody's catching what I'm saying, because you're just sitting there looking at me stone face. Amen, Dr. Wise. Exceedingly abundantly above what you could ask, think, or even dare imagine. So that means I can't even expect in my ability what God desires for me. Yet I look at my life from time to time and I see what my life has given me, and I then conclude that this is God's best for me. And maybe if I could just be a little bit better somewhere, somehow, some way, pray more, fast more, help more, sow more, give more. If I could just do something else to make God just open up an inkling bit, a little tiny bit more of His mercy and grace, and bless my whole life. And He hits me with exceedingly abundantly above that you can ask or think or even imagine. That means the blessings of God for my life are not even something that can enter into my consciousness, because they go so far behind. So now I have to then seek God from a place that I don't know where I'm coming from or where I'm going. In other words, I have to get to a place that I'm seeking out a land whose builder and maker is God that I've never seen before. Oh, you're looking at me too stone faced right here. You're acting like you're not Christians. I don't know what's going on with you this morning, but I came to this reality that I can't even begin to believe or fathom what it is He has for me, because it's never even entered into my mind. How can you believe for something that you've never even considered being a reality for you? So I have to pull back and I have to go, God, I have to see and expect and believe from a place that I don't even know exists. I don't know if you're ready for me today. I might need to just get off this camera and go jump around the room by myself and run up and down and do some cartwheels, because I don't know if you're with what I'm doing right here. I woke up laughing, and it's the only time I can remember in my life waking up laughing. And I said, "You mean for 65 years I could have had this? This is a reality? That my sleep is even blessed, that I wake up with joy and not have to search out joy during the course of the day by praying and opening my Bible and putting on some worship music and just trying to find a touch of Jesus somewhere. You mean I can wake up with the presence and the joy of the Lord in and on my spirit? You mean that this thing you talk about, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, because your yoke is easy and your burden is light, it's really a real thing? Wait, what does it even mean to have a light burden? I'm not experienced with that in this life that I've lived and the way I've been taught to understand it." So I sat still for a minute and I said, "Lord, what else am I missing? What other beautiful, exceedingly abundant thing do you desire for me that I'm not getting while I'm trying to work to get you to do something else? So Nellie and I were praying this morning, and in her prayer, she said, Nellie, I'm not gonna tell all the business, but in her prayer, she said, well, God, I'm gonna thank you for this, I'm gonna thank you for this, but right now, the focus is the hair oil, and so this is what we're gonna focus on. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, who told her that? Who gave her that idea that what she's decided to focus on is the way I'm going to bless right now? I could bless her with something that she never even thought about doing at all until right this very second. Why does she put this category in place and say, well, if God's going to move, he's going to move right here? And God says who? How many of you have experienced in your life, our daddy blessed you in an area that you never thought you would even be blessed in? You never thought he would even open the door for you and move you in that area. There's something that went down a total opposite road of what you had ever even thought of in your life. Now you're starting to join me. Exceedingly abundantly above what you ask, think, or dare imagine. You had no idea that God would do this. I had no idea that there would be a vision builders one day. I had no idea that I would be in real estate. I didn't even know why I was doing it, that I had master over seven figures in real estate, because I wasn't even looking at it. I was doing all the other stuff that I thought I should do. And then one day I had to sit down and divide my assets and went, oh, wow. And God said, I told you years ago I wanted you to go into this. You just touched it a little bit and didn't even know what I was doing underneath the currents. What does God desire to do for us that goes beyond what we can think or imagine? Well, I started seeking him out. And I said, God, what scripture do you want me to read today? And he gave me what I had looked at this week. And I'm like, this has nothing to do with it, does it? And he said, again, above what you can imagine, in your limited expectation, you've already seen this scripture to mean one thing. But today, you see it different. So I read it, and it's in Hebrews chapter 6. I'm starting at verse 11. I'll go back a little bit, but I'll start at verse 11 for now. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be fully realized. We do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what had been promised. I'm going to read that again. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end, so that what you hope for may be realized. No, he said may be fully realized. That what you hope for may be fully realized. How many people right here on this call could say to me, yeah, there's some things that I've been hoping for that I really want to be fully realized in my life. Can I see some people that are saying, yeah, I've been hoping for some things and I want to see the full realization of that. Now, Kwame put his hand up. He don't usually put his hand up. So that means I'm talking to you today, okay? So you understand what I'm saying? There's some things that we've been saying, God, I don't want it kind of realized. I don't want it. Well, you know, maybe this wasn't what he meant. Maybe with the big vision I had, what he really meant was he wanted me to help people across the street and all this kind of stuff we come up with, and then we don't have a fully realized manifestation of what God promised. I am getting older. I want to see the full manifestation fully realized in my life. Can I get an amen from somebody? I don't want to play with it anymore. I don't want to dance around with it. I don't want to keep saying, well, maybe God, well, maybe he had another plan. Well, maybe it really meant this when I thought it meant. I don't want to keep doing that with God and limiting to God to what my limitations are. So when she said, well, in this season, the focus is this, and the Holy Spirit spoke to me, and I didn't want to interrupt her because she was praying. God said, well, let her finish. And then you say this, and then he just moved and he spoke prophetically. He said, I can have you sell an umbrella and become a millionaire. Tomorrow, you don't know what I'm doing. You only know the things I'm telling you to prepare for and train. Please, saints, hear what I'm saying today. You only know what you're training for, but you can't conclude based on the training he's putting you through that that's the vocation he's keeping you in. You can't make that conclusion. You don't have the right to, you do have the right, but it's stupid if you take it. Because you don't know what he's going to do. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. When Joseph had the dream of himself in his sheaves, that family sheaves bound before his sheaves, he didn't know what that meant. He was in farming. He probably just really thought some plants was going bow. He didn't know what it meant. His brothers got offended by it. They threw him into slavery. Well, hold on, hold on. They sold him and they cast him away. And watch this. Then begin the training for the thing he saw in the vision that he didn't even know what it meant. And probably from where he was, because why would he even consider coming from a wealthy family that he would probably wind up being in Egypt doing anything? He was good and his family was good where they were. Why? Because when the brothers came back for him later after all of Israel was in trouble, watch this. The family was still intact. The family obviously was doing okay. So they weren't doing as okay as he was because God put him in the place for training. And in that training, he was prepared to run a nation. He wanted to learn how to run a nation in his father's house. None of his brothers were doing it. He was being prepared to persevere, to stand strong, and and get the skills and the equipment in him, in his gift, in his seeing. Remember, he got thrown away for expressing his gift. He got rejected because he said, I saw my sheep and your sheep bow to my sheep. The beginning of his prophetic gift and anointing, he saw it, he expressed it, and it cost him slavery. It cost him being rejected and thrown away by his brothers. It cost him everybody around him turning his back. But a lot of us, we don't want the people around us turning their back. We want to be embraced by them. So we throw our gifts away to be accepted in the clique that is not part of the destiny that we call to. Well, it's my this, it's my brother, it's my family, it's my this, it's my. Okay, but are they propelling you toward what God has called you to or keeping you from it? And if they're keeping you from it, God may create some circumstances that put you in a situation where you got to be separated. I'll leave it like that. I'll park the car right there. I'll land my plane right there. So he winds up in a situation where the gift that he expressed didn't bring joy, but brought what looked like the opposite effect. Let me make sure you guys are on the same page with me. Because most of us in that place would say, I know I've done it over and over in my life. That's it. I'm zipping my lip. I'm not saying this anymore. I'm not using my gift anymore. I'm not speaking my destiny anymore. Because all this thing seemed to have done for me is bring me problems. So I'm going to shut my mouth right now. I'm going to shut my mouth right now. Who am I talking to? Let me be quiet. I don't want to cause no problems. Let me stop going down this road if it's not talking, because going down this road and pursuing this avenue of success that I believe I'm called to has done nothing but cause me problems. Made my bank account dry up. But the training process requires that I say, God, why am I here? And if I'm here for training, give me the strength and the grace I need to complete, and then the ability to move on and separate when required of me. So listen to this. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. So he's saying, no matter what, you got to stay diligent. You listen to me? No matter what, you got to keep the focus of what God called you to in front of you. No matter what, you got to keep talking, 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 what God has said. The thing I love about Nelly is one of the things I love about Nelly. There's a lot of things. But the thing I love about Nelly that endeared me to her from the beginning was she held her ground no matter if it was earthquakes, storms, fires. It may not even been the right ground, but whatever ground she had, she wasn't letting that ground go. No, I've seen that tenacity. She would not cave. She won't cave. And I saw that and I was like, I need more of that because I don't have that ability a lot of times when things hit my heart and hurt my heart real bad. It's like I shut down. I withdraw into a little corner like a turtle and shut myself in. If I don't run away, I'll withdraw. Am I the only one? I know I'm not the only one. And he's saying, we want you to keep the same diligence to the very end, so that your hope may be fully realized. Now, take this, take this. This is important. Keeping your diligence to the end is offering you a result. I'm going a little slow because I want you to get this. I want you to do this so that you get that. If this, then that. That's even in computer programming. You might not even know it because you're just open up a program and use it. But I come from far enough back in the computer days where you had to type everything you wanted to do out by code. There was no drag and drop and put the picture there. No, you had if then statements. Have you ever heard that phrase before? Well, if you haven't, in computer programming, underneath all the stuff that you guys don't see, even in the littlest app you use, there's an if and then statement component under the code that makes these things happen. So here's what I mean by that. You're about to get a short lesson. If you're typing code, those people who type that code have to anticipate every and anything you may put in there. And then they have to have a then response. If this, go to that page. If that, shut down. If this, error. If this, you follow what I'm saying? So when you go to something that asks you for a password, it says, if password is correct, go to account. If not, reject. If password is wrong three times, lock them out. All that's code. How many of you saying I didn't know that? So if that's the case, I'm looking at the origin that there's not a computer program that's written, not a software that you use that is not programmed with if then. Nothing. And then I'm looking at the word, and I've been studying and realizing that the Bible is full of if then. If you accept Christ, yes, eternal life. No, eternal darkness. You're willing and obedient, good of the land. If then. If not, all these curses should come upon. It's all if then. If I harden my heart, if, then God is against me. If I'm humble, then he will exalt me. Are you catching this? Are you catching this? They're all if-then statements. We call them the law. We call them all of this, but then we write in it into the code. Watch close what I'm about to say. Listen, you're listening? We write these mercy scenarios or these emotional scenarios into the code that does not work and is not in the code. Well, God knows my heart and he knows I meant well. So even if I don't do what he says, but my heart means well, I'm still going to get what the if statement requires. And it's not the truth. It's not even biblical. It's not right. It doesn't work. I meant well. Well, I'm trying so hard, but I'm really trying with all my heart. Okay, that's not the if then statement. That's you now trying to rewrite God's code to flow. I want you to catch what I'm saying to you right now. You're trying to rewrite God's code to flow with you. And if he does, it throws off the whole computer program and it breaks down. The program's in place. You're not going to move it. So he's saying right here, watch this, a very powerful if-then statement. We want you to show the same diligence to the very end. Somebody say to the very end. Same diligence to the very end. Say to the very end. So if you do that, your hope may be fully realized. This is so simple that we look over and miss it all the time. If you are diligent, the hand of the diligent, tend to plenty. There's a million scriptures that say all these things like this. If you stand by what God has given you, watch this, watch this, watch this, with the expectation of what he's promised, with an expectation of what he's promised. Well, I'm doing it every day, I'm trying, I'm doing. No, 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 no. That's not an expectation of anything. According to your faith, be it unto you. I don't care how hard you work, how much you tithe, and how regularly you tithe, and how much you give effort offerings and extra gifts, all that stuff that church people like to use and come to church three days a week. It doesn't say all of that. It says diligently. So that means you do it with an expectation, and that expectation, you stand by that expectation without wavering. Let me tell you what I'm saying. You know that you get saved to accepting Jesus Christ, and you don't accept a wavering or fluttering when it comes to that, because you practice that enough to know that that is the criteria. If, then. Here, he's saying, I need you to be diligent. What is diligent? Ever watchful, ever expecting. What does that mean? Ever watching, ever expecting. What does that mean? Ever watching. Ever expecting. You ever order something from online, Amazon maybe? They give you this tracking date and you watching that thing, especially if there's something you've been waiting for and you looking at it, and now they show you with the truck how far it is and how close it is to you, and you watching, and if they say it's going to be there by 6, you expect it to be there by 6, and you go there now and check the front door and check for that package and check your app over and over and over and over, and if it ain't there, you on the phone calling them saying, you said it's supposed to be here by 6, it's now 6:30 and my package ain't here yet, right? That's diligent, expectation. But when it comes to the things of God, pause. When it comes to the things of God, we just kind of throw it out there. Well, you know, it could happen. That's not diligence. That's not diligence. We could play this game if we want, but that's not diligence. That's not earnestly expecting. And that's the requirement that a lot of us have been missing, including myself. God said, listen, I've given you very clear if-then statements. I've given them to you. And what you've done is you said, if maybe. Boy, you're just looking at me so stone-faced today. You've taken God's if-then statements and you turn them to if-maybe statements. Well, that's not diligence and it's not faith. What has God promised you individually, each person on here? What has God promised you that you've been waiting and 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 waiting? And God's like, well, I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for you to complete the training that I put before you and stay diligent and committed to it so that your promise will be fully realized. So I'm doing it with expectation. I did everything that the program said. I went online, I saw the thing, I put it in the cart because seeing it and liking it won't get it delivered to you. Oh, yeah, see, come on, yo. Seeing it and liking it, even putting a little heart on it and saving it to your list, won't get it to you. You got to put it in the cart. And you're still not done. Then you got to put a card in there. And you got to put the expiration date. And now you got to put the little three-digit code. You got to follow the steps. And if you follow each one of those steps, and then you hit send, and it says, congratulations, it's on its way. If you being man can do these things, these good things, how much more can your Heavenly Father do if you follow the steps and do the ifs? And then expect. The word expect, I looked it up and said, you believe you receive, it's talked about strain. The word was used in Hebrew, strained expectation. Strained expectation. Somebody say that with me. Strained expectation. This is the expectation where it's like, not, well, you know, I pay my time, and you know, if God, you know, wants it to happen. Now, he said, that's no expectation. So one of your if statements are missing. You didn't check the box. You put your seed in. You made a confession when you put your seed in, but your expectation is not there. So that box is not checked. You didn't put the security code in. Baby, it's not coming. It's in the cart. Who needs to hear this today? It's in the cart, but now you got to check out. And then you expect God to be faithful and true to his promise. So he said, if you keep the same diligence to the end, when is the end? Well, I said, the end to me is when it arrives. This is when the end, we're done with that. We're on to the next order. You keep that to the end so that your hope may be fully realized. Watch this, and this is the part I want you to catch. Ready? Bringing it home. And we do not want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. How do you inherit what has been promised? That's part two. It's a very simple thing. You stay diligent to the end, and then you don't become lazy or lethargic or so-so with your stand. But you stand, are you listening to me today? But you stay diligent with your stand. I'll go back there. Thank you, Lord. Okay. We don't want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith, somebody say faith, and patience. That's how you stay diligent to the end. You use your faith to get it going, but the patience is what keeps you going when it doesn't seem like it's happening. When you're in the lion's den, when you're in Pharaoh's prison, when you're in all these places that you said, I don't belong here spiritually. I've done right. I've done the best I could. I've tried to be a good Christian. I try to sow a seed. I try to minister the word to everybody. I did. I try. Okay, but are you patient and standing in faith to the end? So that you can inherit what is promised. So you inherit what is promised. One, stay diligent to the end. Two, imitate those who are doing what you want to do. And through faith and patience, you inherit the promise. So I'm going to bring it home with this. I was watching a couple of real estate moguls. Greg Cardone, a couple of other people are watching some of their videos, and I was watching them talk about his success story. Now, Greg Cardone had a, I don't remember the show. I remember it was on TV, then they took it off because of COVID, but then they went back and finished it. And he was upset. He was like emotional and everything because he didn't want him to take the show off because he started something, he wanted to finish it. Now, are you familiar with who Greg Cardone is? 10X. They did a show where they took all his money, all his connections, and everybody he knew out of his phone book. And they put him in this little dinky town, I think with $5,000. And he said within, I think it was 30 days, he would get back to being a millionaire again. And he had to go with nothing in the town, couldn't call anybody, and he had to go from place to place and try to work deals with people just to get his food for the night. And he had to become a millionaire again, stripped to nothing. Can you do it again if we take everything from you? He said, yes. Yes. And he walked through this process. And I saw a man who was already a multimillionaire with his own private jet and everything cry because he was trying to figure out how he was going to eat and how he was going to get around and what he was going to do. Knowing that he had that back to the old life. But right now, he's decided through patience and faith that he's going to stand. And I don't think you've heard one successful person not say to you what I'm saying to you right now, what the scripture is saying to you right now. Not one person didn't say, I pushed when everybody said no. I kept fighting when everybody said, I can't do it. I sent Markel this post today. And Markel said, wow, her squat and her deadlift is bigger than mine. She lifts more than me. She's a world champion deadlifter squatter. She's 81. She said she had never been to a gym until she was 61. She went on this process at the age of 61, and at 81, she's a world champion deadlift, squatter, powerlifter. She's a powerlifter. She's squatting 425 pounds at 81 years old. World champion. She said, when they gave me the trophy, I said, wow, I'm the best in the world. At 81. She said, when she got a hold of it and she got with the trainer, he said, I thought she was going to come do some exercise, jog, try to lose some weight. He said, she went over and I said, I want to lift this. And he said, but she took to it like a fish out of water. It became her destiny. I guarantee you, and at 61 years old, she didn't have a dream of being a power lifter, but she persevered. She stayed toward the goal. And when she became the world's champion, she didn't even know she was the world's champion. She didn't even know she was on that level. She said she walked in the gym, she saw all these young girls, and she said, there's no way I'm going to beat these young girls. But she did. Everybody says persistence. Everybody says perseverance. Everybody says when everybody around you says no, you still have to say yes. Everybody says you got to go down the road that everybody else is not going down. You got to go down the road least traveled. Everybody successful says that. Am I wrong? You got to be willing to do what other people are not willing to do. That don't mean work harder. That means do the thing that everybody else is not doing. It doesn't mean break your neck and don't get any sleep and kill yourself. It means do the thing that everybody else is not doing. So when I started going after these houses, they kept trying to get me to do single houses. I don't want to do single houses. I want to do multifamily. I want to do 10 people and above. I want to at least have 6, 7 houses, 10 houses. I got to be above 4. I want to go commercial. Yeah, but you know, you got to start out small. I don't want to start out small. I don't want to start out small. I don't want to negotiate a single house deal. I don't ever want to do a single house deal again. If I can at least have 4 and above, I'm at least 10, somewhere around there, I don't want to do the deal. That was what put on me. I want to own a building, a complex, something. That's what the vision God gave me was. It's been over a year and a half, and the people don't even show me single houses anymore. They know better. But they still try to give me the little, well, you know, okay, we already know where that's going to land, right? It's going to land nowhere. So don't even go down the road. And they finally woke up and came around and started showing me the kind of properties that I said I want to see. But when I started looking at them, and I want you to listen to me because I'm closing up, I did not have the money to even think about doing this kind of deal. God, people say, how are you going to get the money? I was like, in pursuit of what I'm called to do, the money will show up. What I need to get it done will manifest because I'm on the road to doing it. I want you to listen to me real close. This is my last statement for the day. We want each of you to show the same diligence to the very end. Don't put your hand to the plow and turn back because you're not worthy of that kingdom. You're not worthy. He says that. Don't put your hand to the plow and turn back. So that what you hope for will be fully realized. It will manifest. We do not want you to become lazy. Don't get lethargic. But imitate those who do faith, Christians and non. You can look around the world and see them. And patience inherit what God has promised. You can inherit everything God has promised. The if, then statement is alive. It's powerful. It's been there from the foundation of the earth. It's not going to change. And through crying in tears and feeling sorry for yourself is not going to alter God's plan. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever today, right? He's the same. And I'm saying to you, you have everything that pertains to life and godliness. You are believers. You are the children of God. You are his inheritance. You are the one that God desires to bless above what you are accepting as blessing. And what he has in store for you, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor has it even entered into your heart. What God wants to do for you and what God is going to do through you is as simple as this. If, then, statements. Jesus' name. Amen.